CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com, just after 7 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, almost the end of July. Whew, I used this this hand cream because I looked at my hands and they looked like a vulture's talons. So I actually put the hand cream on just now. It's not a, this is not a product placement. No one's paying me for that. It's just something that I needed to do. Otherwise, I'll frighten the children. Can you imagine? Jesus.
You know what people no don't that. Hands you can see.
No one wants
the
that.
Worst ones, folks. No, nobody wants that.
Horrible.
But please cream your elbows.
Yes,
your
very
elbows
important.
And your Achilles tendons, folks.
Absolutely.
Those two areas we can see them, especially sort of spring's coming up now. We're going to start seeing your Achilles tendons since you. Yeah, so please just start now.
Yeah, because you see, you've been able to hide all that stuff under gloves and clothes and shoes and things for winter. Yeah, summer comes around and you really have to take notice. What? What's it, Simpiwe?
No.
She's frozen. It looks
I'm saying in winter, you should actually be moisturizing the most. So that's when you get into that habit of like putting extra moisturizer, extra lotion. Like,
very good.
You know, so that when summer comes, it's easy. In winter's not the reason for you to kind of be like, well, I'm wearing 5,000 hoodies, so I don't need to put lotion. No. It's the reason why you should. It's dry. Your skin needs moisture.
This is good. Yeah. And Annette says, and you're
summer bodies are made in winter, pal.
Annette says, also your heels. No cracked, disgusting heels. Yes, that's right. That's
tell them, Annette.
Please.
Tell them, Annette.
We've been traumatized. Please.
So tell them, Annette.
I want to get
take away from us this morning.
I want to get get into this thing of equality because it keeps coming up and it seems to be a political buzzword. And I've always said that for me, the whole point of my life is to be as unequal to everyone else as possible. If you really want to be an individual, if you want to stick out, if you want to have a life that means something, you have to do things other people are not doing, and you have to try and be as unequal to everyone else as possible. In other words, you just live out whatever it is that you've been given in terms of talents and skills and abilities. And of course, if you don't have those talents and skills and abilities, it very quickly brings into stark contrast just how unequal you actually are to everyone else. I'm not an athlete. I'm not equal to any athlete in any athletic way you could imagine. We're all so different. The idea of equality is ridiculous. It doesn't happen. There's nowhere in the world that people are equal and happy. Let's just stop imagining that there is such a place. You know, equality does not equal happiness. The funniest thing is that if you have a situation where everybody's equally miserable, that's about the closest you're going to get to what utopian egalitarians profess is the most important part of life. I don't see equality as being a massively important goal. I also don't see it as attainable because there's always going to be difference. You know, you look at societies like people talk about Cuba, for example, where there's such equality being forced down that they send their doctors at a pittance. The doctors don't get to keep any of that money. They get sent all over the world like human traffic to go and solve other people's medical problems. And then the Cuban government takes their money and they distribute it to everybody equally. You know, in Cuba, you earn the same if you're a doctor or if you're a street sweeper. And they're certainly not happy. You could prove that very easily by looking at the traffic from Cuba to other places and the traffic into Cuba from other places. No one's moving into Cuba or North Korea where they're supposedly equal societies. Everybody's moving out of those places. This idea of equality being a source of misery for humans or inequality being a source of misery for humans is just silly. You know, everybody's unequal. Mbulelo is much fitter, much faster, and in many ways, much cleverer than I am. We're not equal. Simpiwe seems to have way more energy than me. She's also got youth on her side. She's got a sparkly personality. She's way prettier than me. Now, unequal is part of what we have on this show. It's part of what I like about the show. If we were all equal in terms of our talents, abilities, our backgrounds, our experiences, we'd have nothing to talk about all day because we'd already know all that stuff, right? I think inequality has been put into the language as a rallying cry. But all it really amounts to is Like I could be someone who's really obsessed with inequality, right? I could be someone who's thinking about that all the time. All it's going to do is make me bitter and resentful. Because if I keep thinking about how unequal I am to everyone else, maybe I have more money than you, but maybe I'm uglier or older or less physically fit than you are. Maybe I am not as clever as you. Maybe I'm not as funny as you. If I focus on that inequality the whole time, guess what it's going to do to me? It's going to make me a disaster of a human being. If I'm focused all the time on comparing myself to you, which is what inequality people keep telling me, it's like you've got to keep on looking at how people differ from each other, and you must make that the most important part of their character, and you must focus so much on where the differences are between people. Well, that's bound to lead to a society that breaks apart, don't you think? Why are we so obsessed with this equality thing?
I think we often speak about, because ultimately this is a human rights thing at the very core, right? Is that people often speak about this on the individual level. Is unfortunately, you can't just talk about rights as an individual thing, because at all times there is an oscillation from individual to society. Your individual rights rub up against the society's all the time. And here's where the friction comes. So it's always very interesting that people always talk about themselves. I think what has to happen here for me, and it's probably, we don't have the time, but it's all about access to opportunity. It's not about equality. That doesn't make sense to me in anything. And you yes. know how far left I lean economically. So if anything, I would be the person you should come to for equality, but it's not even an option for me. There are two words that make me absolutely revolted from people when it comes out their mouth. This is not fair, and equality. That's not the game. Equality and fairness is not even, it's a non-starter right. for me. It tells me you don't want to think. It's about equal of access to opportunity. Right. And I think what drives us insane, especially, let's just use our country. I'm sure it's the same in Brazil or wherever else, is that we know now when you can steal 500 billion, a young girl in Matatiel who's getting 6 straight A's, who could be going to Oxford, is now not going because you have not created the systems for her to be exposed to the right systems to go to Oxford, to go to UCT. Mm-hmm. And that's access to opportunity. That's not equality. Those are not the same thing. Correct. And we kind of conflate those for political messaging. Access to opportunity is all it's about. If she deserves to go to Oxford, she should go to Oxford, not go to
but
Oxford.
But also, I mean, because Bulelo, I'm 100% with you on this. Equality of opportunity is something everybody should be for. I would be horrified if I met someone who said, no, we need to have systems where certain people are privileged over others in perpetuity. I think those people are largely out of the discussion at this point, because who's really going to take them seriously? You know, those are the people who argue about, if you're born into a certain family, you deserve everything. And if you're not, you deserve nothing. I mean, who's going to back those people now? Am I right?
Nobody.
But here's the question.
No.
Equality compared to what? Like, because it's all good and well to have this idea of utopia where everybody has the same everything. We all drive the same car. We all live in the same house. We all do the same work for the same money. I mean, that's kind of, it's childish, right? It's really, this is how 5-year-olds think of the world. They draw a little house, they draw their friend's house exactly the same. They draw a little car, they draw their friend's house the same. And then eventually they start comparing, like, my dad's got a better car than yours or whatever. And that's where it all starts going wrong in these people's minds. Here's the problem though. Equality is only useful if you have a method for comparing things, comparing apples and apples. So if you say, well, let's all be equal. But
all
equal,
the control.
Equal to who? Control. A control. So equal to who? So who are we going to use as the standard? Because you could choose me, you could choose Mbulelo, you could choose Simpiwe, you could choose someone else. You could choose someone very, very happy, content, but not necessarily wealthy. Or you could choose someone who's wealthy, but very, very unhappy. You could choose someone who's beautiful, but very, very stupid. You could choose someone who's very, very smart, but in huge mental anguish all the time. Who's the control? And no one can ever answer that for me. No one ever says, well, I reckon we should all be equal to, the Julius Malema. We all need to be equal to him. Well, for many people, That's not an equal they want to be. And for some people, that doesn't seem like the right kind of life to lead. I don't know the answer, but I do know that equality is a childish pursuit. It's a silly thing. It's like a carrot on a stick that's held in front of people. And as you said earlier, it makes them less able to think. So we've got to stop with this buzzword equality. It doesn't seem to be something that people have thought through.
It's a non-starter. In fact, even your beloved man Marx was never interested in equality.
I just know
what that elicits out of you. And I got him. Yeah. But equality and fairness. Let's all agree moving forward. It is a non-starter. If you say those words, if you ever meet me and you say equality and fairness, just keep it moving because we have nothing to talk about. It is a non-starter. It doesn't exist. There is no equality and there is no fairness. Life is not fair. I don't care where you are from, who you are. There is no fairness. It is not a conversation.
Well, I think part of the issue is that
politicians throw those words around so often to justify what they do.
Right.
You know, they looted 500 billion and they'll be like, no, but you know, equality and we were trying to be equal and apartheid. So they throw those terms around and then people hear them without understanding what that means. And so then in like everyday conversations, you'll hear people say, oh, but I also want equality. And I also, that's unfair. Because our leadership is saying those things.
Yeah,
and they also don't understand what they're saying. That's part of the massive issue.
This is just all in such stark contrast. The reason it came up in conversation for me, and I heard Yatish refer to it earlier, but it is a thing that we talk about in politics in this country all the time, as Simpiwe points out. But what makes me think about it is the Olympics. Like, I'm never going to be equal to any of those athletes. They are superb examples of humanity, right? They may not all be moral. They may not all be hugely smart. They may not all be the most successful business people, but they are extraordinary superhumans when it comes to their physical bodies and their ability to run or jump or swim or move in certain ways. I look at those people and I'm not jealous of them. I'm in awe of them. Don't get me wrong. I'm in awe. I'm blown away by what they can do. But I'm not jealous of them. I don't want to be equal to them. I wouldn't want to train 24/7 like some of those people have to do in order to be able to do the things that they do. We all are different and we all are unequal. Let's stop pretending that we live in a world where we could change all of that and we could all suddenly, with a click of our fingers, have the same everything. Same money, same brains, same looks, same physical prowess, all of that stuff. We can't. It's just a dumb goal to have because it's unattainable. It's utopian and not in a good sense. Utopian meaning, in this case, a dream. So I don't see why this is something that we need to be chasing. And that politicians, as Simpiwe points out quite rightly, politicians keep throwing at us as like some kind of distraction. They're like, inequality is our biggest enemy. Listen, there are countries that are way more unequal than us. And there are countries that have extremely poor. Have you ever been to India? Have you ever seen what happens in India? Yes. Have you ever seen the kind of, when we talk about poverty in South Africa, and we do have poverty, we have a huge problem in poverty in South Africa. You look at how the really poor untouchables, as the caste system refers to them in India, how those people live. Yes, sis. I mean, like, you want to talk about extreme levels of deprivation. People, like, literally sleeping on the side of the road this far from where the tires go past them. With nothing to cover them. They eat whatever scraps get thrown at them. They have nowhere to... They don't have a loo, a bathroom, a toilet. They, you know, they use the same street they sleep in. There are levels to this. If you even go back into human history, you don't have to look at India. Just look at any generation before ours. Any generation that lived on planet Earth before this one. And you could argue that while there may have been inequality of various kinds, there were levels of depraved poverty that we just don't even understand today. And hunger and desperation and violence, man. I mean, listen, Let's be grateful for what we've got. And I don't think that this argument's going to take us anywhere. I don't think we're going to get to a point where we go, ah, the world is at a stage now where we feel that equality is no longer an issue. You know, if you have two kids arguing over a toy and you want to be equal, you want to give them both equal access to the toy, then you tell them you have the toy for 10 minutes and you can have it for 10 minutes afterwards. But that doesn't seem to make them happy. Because as soon as the other kid has it, the kid who doesn't have it is unhappy, right? You never really solve that problem. And if you give them both a toy, you know what happens with kids? If you've got kids, you know this, and I see it with my nephews. The one, if you buy each of them a blue car, or a red car and a blue car, it's because you wanted to differentiate them, so you don't have to write their name on it. So you give one a red car, one a blue car, and they're exactly the same. You know what's going to happen after a couple of minutes? The one's going to say, I want the red car. You say, but you've got the blue car. They're exactly the same. No, but I want the red one. Then they're both going to fight over the red car. Or it'll be the blue car. They're never going to be satisfied. That's how kids are. That's what happens with people who are searching for equality everywhere, is they're just going to moan and fight with each other until they eventually cry, run out of steam, or have a temper tantrum. And that's what you see in politics too. You see adults having temper tantrums over equality. It's just dumb. We have so many better things to put our energy into. This is just outrageous. What do you think? Do you agree? And
for me, what it also does, tragically, is that it we lose focus because we start fighting amongst each other as the citizenry. What it should be sharply focused on is that the dickheads in government, and I speak only of ours now, is that make that smaller, make that more efficient, because all they should be doing, we pay taxes, they should administrate those to give access and opportunities to people. That's your role. Nobody in South Africa, with the amount of money we've now seen being looted over the last 27 years, should go a day without a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
And that isn't that, I think no matter how capitalist you are, I think the very bottom line is that you wish every person could just have a warm, two or three warm meals a day, warm water in their house, and the opportunity to go to school, right? That's all. I think that's reasonable.
And we can, but there's no reason we can't afford that stuff, right?
We don't even need to theorize that. We've seen what these pricks have looted for 27 mm-hmm. years. So there's been plenty of money in the coffers, even if we're being parsimonious.
Let me go to Michael's comment here. South Africa's diversity is our strength. We just need leadership to model how to tap into this treasure. Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's exactly right. Bangladesh is apparently 10 times worse than India. Yeah, there's always someone worse and there's always someone better. You know, again, if we use the control, the word that Bulelo gave to me while I was searching for it, let's say the control is a poor, underprivileged, lowest of the low person in Bangladesh. Who the hell wants to be that person? It's funny, inequality is always an argument up. It's never an argument down. If we all have to share equal pain or we all have to pay equal debt, suddenly people don't want equality, right? If I'm responsible for Simpiwe's debt, then suddenly I'm not so thrilled to be Simpiwe. If I don't want to do the exercise that Mbulelo has to do to be as fit as he is, suddenly I don't want to be Mbulelo, because I could do that right now. We don't want any of the bad, but we want all the good. So you see someone who's really rich, who lives in a lovely house and, you know, drives a sports car and they go on holiday every other day. You think, wow, I'm jealous of that person. But you don't want to do the work that they're doing. Maybe they haven't seen their wife and kids. You don't want to do any of that bad stuff. You don't want to necessarily take the risk that they take. You know, these equality people are always saying things like, oh, you know, business must pay X, Y, and Z. Business must do X, Y, and Z. I find myself doing it sometimes. But do you want to take the risk that some of those businesses take? Because if the staff have to take the same risk as the manager, in other words, they have to go into debt sometimes, they have to make a decision that could go either way, but they, you know, if it goes one way, they'll make lots of money. If it goes the other way, they'll be broke for the next 10 years. The staff don't have to share in that risk. So if you want to share in the profit, you must share in the loss. As a country, that's what we have to do. That's why I love what Yatish said earlier. And I think it's such a spot on thing. It's like, let's be part. Let's almost think of this nation as profit sharing. if the country does well, we all do well. And in order for the country to do well, we need to stop focusing on things like equality. We need to start focusing on, let's take the risks that pay off. Let's make some decisions that help us to get to where we want to go, and we can all share in the profits. The moment, what we're doing is we're all sharing in the losses, but not the profits, because the politicians are taking the profits. So we can change that. This is a good thing. I'm glad we're having this discussion.
You've just triggered me right now, Gareth. You've infiltrated, sorry, Stimpiwe, because you've just brought up a conversation my father had with me when I was having a whinge, a proper whinge. I can't remember how old I was. And he said, no, 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 let me tell you something, my boy. He said, you don't want the things that I have.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're not willing to do the things I did. And I'll never forget that conversation, because at that time I was the worst type of human on the planet. And he said, you must be very, very careful. You want the things I have. You're not willing to do what I did to get them. And you've nailed it. I wanted to echo that and also share that I'm going through some stuff right now, and you've triggered me.
Preach. For me, I think it's like the same conversation, but just different words. So growing up, I heard, don't have that mpem mentality, which means give me. And I think that's what a lot of South Africans suffer from, is that they just want to be handed things, but they don't necessarily want to work hard for those things. And they don't understand the value in which you need to put in the work.
Yeah.
And because we see our leadership, that's also part of the issue, is that when the government are the very people that say do X, but they do Y, it's very easy for people to also think, well, if government is looting, then I can loot. If they want equality, then I can demand equality. Right. It's, and it all starts from the head, and the head is our government. So if they are corrupt, best believe the rest of the body is corrupt. Definitely. Best believe everybody else is going to think and speak the same way that you hear Jula speak about land appropriation, or, you know, and wanting things to change because of apartheid and all of that. And that's the bigger issue, that leadership needs to change how they speak to their people, because then we'll actually see change in everything else. And that's
spot on. Two cents. No, spot on. I love it. If you didn't hear the discussion with Yatish earlier on their campaign, This Is Us, I think it might be really interesting for you to listen to that in the first hour this morning. And we're going to have that podcast up soon. And of course, you can also tell us what you think of that. We'd like to hear from you. I mean, Tony says politicians need to be, you see, again, I didn't want to turn this into a discussion of politicians, but they're invariably involved in our lives. And they're the ones who are proffering this whole argument of equality as being the solution to all of our problems. He says politicians need to be more accountable and open, operate, I think is the word, with impunity. It will also help if they're experts in the fields of their portfolio. Yeah, that's a good point. But you're talking Bulelo's language here. That's what he wants. Andy says, I say to my 13-year-old, I wish I'd stopped learning stuff when I was your age. Then I'd be as smart as you. Deep. I know, but it got her thinking. That's very good. Maki says, remember Victor Hugo's Les Misérables? Yeah, that's a great book, great story. Absolutely magnificent. The story of Jean Valjean, who steals a loaf of bread to feed his family, and he gets locked up in jail for 19 years. And his story is a story of kind of redemption, because he becomes the mayor of a little town, and he helps people, and he becomes a good person, but his past is always haunting him. You know, there's this policeman called Javert who tries to lock him up because he broke parole after his 19 years in jail. And he can never escape it. And eventually the policeman commits suicide because he can't understand how this evil man, he sees Valjean as evil, how this evil man has done so much bad in his life. And he only sees the bad, Javert. And he can't get over how this guy has started to help people and do good things. And he thinks people are eternally bad or good. This also goes back to something we brought up earlier this morning. You know, if someone looted, but they're cleaning up the street that they destroyed today, must we condemn them for yesterday's actions, or must we praise them for today's? Or must we just stop thinking of people as binary, that you're a good person or a bad person? People make good and bad decisions. Let's hold them responsible for those decisions, obviously. But you can't just throw someone out as being bad. You can't just give someone credit
for
being good.
You have to separate.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Simpiwe and Bulelo and I might be bad today and we might be good tomorrow. God willing.
Yeah, you have to be able to learn to separate between behavior and character. Somebody with good character can display bad behavior. That is not their character. And I wish I was better at this. I'm trying to get better in my life. Is that because it's a fine line, right? Is when somebody makes us angry once, even though they've done great things 99 times, you go, what a, and you can put whatever expletive you want when actually they've been phenomenal for 99 times out of 100. Which is their character, not,
Speaking of which, Therence Cameron says here, the MKT show was on fire yesterday. Nice. Yes. And I hope you like the, I hope you like the new look and feel of the MKT show. Cliff Central Sport, you can go and subscribe on YouTube if you haven't already. Very, very good.
Yeah.
This is something I've had endless discussions with someone who's really important in my life. We've been talking about this over and over again since I've known her, and it's been 20 or more years now. This dichotomy of human beings, that mankind is both good and evil in varying degrees. This is something that I'm sure you've discussed with your friends and your family a thousand times, and if you haven't, you're missing out on one of the most interesting ongoing conversations it's possible to have. Are people born good? Or are they born bad? And do they change through life? And can they be both the good and the bad that we were talking about just now? You know, can they change on a daily basis? Of course, the answer is yes, they can. But it's interesting to debate whether humans are generally good or generally bad. And you know, philosophers have debated this since the dawn of time. Are children innocent? Or are they little monsters who hurt animals? Are adults able to be better because of society, or do they make society worse? These are the sorts of things that, I mean, these keep me up at night. And I'm sure you wonder about it too, that you wake up some days and you go, oh, people are such terrible things. We'd be better in this world if all the people were just wiped out by an asteroid and nature was allowed to carry on. But then who would be conscious to take note of nature carrying on? I mean, there have been billions of years before we came along and nobody was there to witness it, right? Certainly to record it. Human history only records
Moses.
Well, but so we got 4,000 years or so of human history. There's not much record keeping before then. So back then when humans were in the minority and nature did rule, didn't seem to be much better because we don't know. We don't have records. All we know is things ate each other and volcanoes exploded. That's all we can say for sure. But then you have those days where you wake up and you go, you know what? Human beings are good. You can see it in the good things people do for each other, for the world, for the animals, for, you know, all the stuff that matters. And I move between those two poles all the time. I'm sure you do too.
And so you should. I mean, morality is, of course, geez, it's one of the central tenets of philosophy and deep thinking, but it's a really, really interesting one, because especially we live in quite a religious country. So most people I know are puritanical purely because of religious teachings, right? Mm-hmm. But when you start to move to liberal Johannesburg or liberal Cape Town, you kind of get into a less Kantian absolute world and you go, hey, people are capable of being good and bad. As Aristotle said, is what was interesting about the Greeks back in the day is they'd go and watch Greek tragedies. And Aristotle observed, are they monsters for wanting to observe incest and murder? And what he came to was that, no, what we are is that it's a part of the civilizing process to see the evil and to go, no, that is not us all the time. I don't need to be controlled by my deep desires all the time. So what I can be is I can control those things, but I have to be able to observe it before I can know that it's a part of me. And what he argued was that an education in horror is a part of the civilizing process. And part of the civilizing process is that, hey, murder's not good. You know, cheating on my wife's
thank
not
goodness
good.
For that. Sure, because Simpiwe and I were sitting here thinking murder was fine.
Well, I don't know what you do in your private life.
It's So
you're starting to shock me, Mbulela. I was like, is this how you think? Is this how you like are like, okay, this is fine. I can just do this all day, every day. Like, it's okay.
Mbulela talks about that religious impulse, and Robin's brought it up here. She says we're all inherently bad. We have to fight temptation every day. I don't know. Hey.
Listen, and I don't know. And about in that. This, sorry, I let me finish off what Aristotle said. Is we do have to acknowledge that us as human beings are constantly on the precipice, which is why we have to observe these gross things in order to say, I am that and I am not that at the same
time.
This
is us.
We are all on the precipice. Us. Yeah, this is, yeah. Yeah, and
come full circle.
Amen. Good messaging. Good messaging.
Oh,
good messaging.
Man.
Shout out Yatish.
Andre says, anything that farts is evil. that's a very simplistic definition from Andre, but I wouldn't expect anything more. I don't know. I mean, listen, this is really like intro to philosophy. So rightly pointed out here by Jean. Jean says Hobbes. That's was it Thomas Hobbes? I think it was Thomas Hobbes. And John Locke, they were the great philosophers of the English Enlightenment, said people are inherently evil and selfish. They cannot be left to govern themselves. But then who's going to govern them? I mean, are we going to get some amber out of a, you know, get some dinosaur DNA out of amber and resuscitate a T-Rex and put that in charge of Earth? I mean, like, Hobbes doesn't solve any problems. He says humans are inherently evil. I don't know so much. That seems very simplistic, too. That's as bad as Andre's anything that farts is evil.
A friend of mine once said, pretty girls don't fart. That's what she thinks of herself. So.
Oh man! All right, let's change tack here, because this is getting very philosophical and heavy. Let's move into something else. There's this guy in, I think somewhere in India. He was born with a twin. This is a long time ago, like the beginning of the 1900s. He had a face on the back of his head. You know, like that professor, what's his name, in Harry Potter, who has like what's the bad guy's name? I can't remember any of these characters, for God's sake. Professor something.
I've seen Harry Potter.
Anyway, he's got a face at the back of his head that he covers with a turban. This guy actually had another face. He had like a conjoined twin or a parasitic twin who was attached to his head. And apparently this thing had a voice. It had eyes. It sometimes would talk to him. It had a different brain to his, otherwise it wouldn't be able to talk at the same time as he did, because there would be confusing signals coming. But you think about shit like that, and that really makes you wonder about what can go wrong in, you know, human beings when they get born with certain defects, or maybe it's a superpower. Maybe this is a mutant who could have saved the world. Maybe that's the creature that should govern us. But this guy was born with a face at the back of his head. So he had two faces.
That sounds scary.
It's horrible, right?
That it sounds absolutely scary. But also, you know how I think it's New Zealand or Australia where we always like they find the most the wild animals in like everyday life, and how like we all know that just don't go there because of the wildlife that's going to be right next door. I feel like it's the same with India, with all the like body defects. There was a reality TV show. I can't remember the name. TLC.
But this is where I saw basically, it. This is the show that I saw it on. Is that TLC show?
Yeah, you see, and like mostly the people that they cover are from India. So, like, I'm just, like, a bit like, yo, what's going on there? Like, what water are you guys drinking? Because, wow.
Well, I mean, if you have a billion people born in your country, they're bound to be one or two that break the mold. You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. Yeah. Did you ever see the conjoined twins that were, the one was like a country star, and the other one didn't like it. Like so they'd interview Lolly and something. I can't remember. Did you ever see that?
She hated country
music.
Like
the one was a big musician, and the other one just wasn't into it. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. This guy was from England, not from India. There was a different one that I saw on that show that Simpy was talking about in India. This guy was called Edward Mordrake, and he was actually from England. Do you want to see what he looked like? Edward Mordrake.
Yes.
This is pretty wild. It was, again, the beginning of the 1900s, so we don't have a very good representation of him, but let me show you what this guy looked like, because it might just freak you out a little bit. This is Edward Mordrake, who had another head on the back of his head, and it could talk and everything. Look at this. That was
Sweet
it.
Sweet mother.
I almost think that the little head at the back looks better than the front one.
That is scary. Imagine this guy approaching you and on some, hey, how you doing? You know, you good? Are you great?
trying to pick you up.
You having a conversation. And then what? One day you guys are in an argument. She's like, I don't want to talk to you. And then the other guy's like, but I want to talk to you. This is scary.
Look at this. Here's another example. There's a much smaller, kind of much uglier little head on this guy. I can't remember what his name is, but he's got the same condition. Might even be the same dude, for all we know. So Edward Mordrake was reportedly the 19th century heir to an English peerage. He had an extra face on the back of his head, which could neither eat, but it could speak, and it could laugh and cry. Edward begged doctors to have his demon head removed because supposedly it whispered horrible things to him at night, but no doctor would attempt it, and he committed suicide at the age of 23. I don't know if that's true, but my God. Huh? Really?
Lord.
Isn't that frightening?
That is scary.
Oh, that's hectic. That is hectic. Oh.
Imagine it whispering things to you in your sleep. You're going to have a horrible day tomorrow. Imagine if it had a voice like that as well. Jesus.
Kill her. Kill her.
Kill her.
Kill her, I tell you, Edward.
Oh, no.
Isn't that horrible? So here's a version of his mummified head to prove that it's not bullshit. Yeah, look at this.
That is crazy.
And this guy. There it is. There's the little head. There's the big one.
Oh, my word.
It couldn't
speak. Imagine when the other head was crying, and then people are like, who's crying? And you're like, I don't know.
It couldn't speak. It couldn't speak full words, but it was able to laugh and cry. So there's different versions of this, and he did apparently commit suicide at 23. Isn't that horrible?
That's crazy. Cool. Did you ever see the Elephant Man? Did you ever watch that film?
No. Years ago I saw the Elephant Man. Yeah. I am not an animal. I am a human being. It traumatized me a little bit as a kid.
You're a bad person. No, I'm laughing at that. Look what you've done with your incredible impersonations.
That's how he sounded. You know that Michael Jackson bought the Elephant Man's bones?
That doesn't surprise me. Cuddled with them. I mean, with all the other stuff he was up to.
As if he wasn't enough of a freak show, he bought the Elephant Man's bones and kept them around. Weird, right? Just a little bit weird.
Very
Michael.
Weird.
No, not weird. Yeah. Michael. Like, died a white woman pork face. First, listen.
Hello,
he
hello
won the,
Mr. Elephant
he won...
Man. Hi, Elephant Man. I just want to say good morning to you, Mr. Elephant Man. I'm gonna just hug you. I'm gonna hug you, hug your little bones. I'm gonna just cuddle up next to your bones, Mr. Elephant Man. Mr. Elephant Man, you're looking really good today. Oh yeah, I love you, Mr. Elephant Man. You're so beautiful.
Oh no.
He was more like a.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. That's horrible. I'll get into trouble for this. But he did. He bought the elephant. So you watched that movie. It traumatized me as a kid. I remember seeing it at like, I don't know, about 11, 12 years old. I probably should have waited a while to watch it. But
yeah,
a horrible story. It's a true story of this guy who was severely disformed. He was in circuses. He was paraded around as a freak. And he fell in love with some girl and, you know, he was always treated badly and like kept in a cage. Just awful what people used to do. This is not even that long ago. It's probably like 1910, 1920, somewhere around there. It's just such a sad story. I mean, like, you know, rather be born with a two faces than an elephant man, because he was literally, they'd open the curtains and he'd be standing there looking all weird and people would mock him and throw fruit at him and shit. Just awful. Now, Good Stuff says, imagine hearing that head at the back, the face at the back, saying slightly annoying things like, did you remember to lock the door? Or, you forgot to wash under your armpits. Yeah. Hmm. That's Corona's Boring says, that's awful. Imagine being a demon head and having no control over your body. Yeah. Would you?
That's also true.
Would you prefer to be the consciousness of the person who has the body and the face in front, or the person with the head at the back? Because the person with the head at the back, you're totally, you know, you're at the mercy of the person with the head in the front who controls the body. It's worse.
I would probably rather be the face, because ultimately, if I, it's easy to look at it in hindsight. It's hindsight. Torture for the contact person.
I like the hindsight. Okay, sorry. It's easier to be, just carry on. I'll take you seriously. Go on. Sorry. This is a terrible subject. Dude, these shows, you've got to watch these shows that Simpy was talking about on TLC. There are people who have like gigantic ball sacks, and they could sit on their ball bag like a, you know, those things that kids, they hold onto the two little things, and it's a big
yes.
ball, and they bounce around in it like a hoppity hop or whatever it's called. That's what this guy's ball sack looks like in this one episode that I watched years ago, and it traumatized me completely. He literally would bounce around
elephant
on his ball.
Elephantitis of the testes.
Elephantitis of the testes, exactly. So you were saying you'd rather be the face at the back.
Yeah, because being conscious is torturous. You know, like every day as human beings, you got to fight the good fight. Is that face is just whatever's happening. You know, that's a, relatively speaking, a good life. I mean, the guy committed suicide in the end because it was such torture to be conscious and have this guy asking, did you lock the door the whole time, and suggesting you should kill her or whatever he, you know. So I'd rather be the face at the back, just living my best life and no one can say anything.
Yeah, until the guy in the front decides to cut you loose, then you're finished. Well. I mean, that's got to suck.
We'll cross that bridge.
Anyway, I saw this picture the other day, and I saw the movie. Sorry, the TV show. And then I thought, well, we've got to bring this up because it has to be. That's got to be the most cursed way to exist, is to have this little face on the back that cries and laughs. Ugh, my God. Luckily, we live in a time.
Yeah, and
luckily, we live in a time where Pink is saving the Norwegian netball team by paying their bikini bottom fine when they want to wear shorts.
That's fighting for a struggle. Forget
exactly.
About two faces.
That's the real struggle. Yeah.
Yeah. What a hero.
It's very real for her.
Very real. Absolutely. Pindulo says, imagine split personalities. That could be interesting to psychoanalyze between the two faces. Well, forget about psychoanalysis. I think doctors would just be fascinated to see how it all connects. Because clearly this head had, you know, a circulatory system and a nervous system of its own, and it would have, you know, did they share a spinal cord? Or, I mean, just physiologically, it would be fascinating to see this person. I wouldn't want to be that person, but it would be interesting to look at them, really. There was one South Park episode where Randy used his ball sack to bounce around. I remember that, Sean Gray. Oh, that's great. Best. That was a great show. I mean, that particular episode, I still love South Park. Haven't watched it in ages. Are they still coming out with new episodes? Does anybody know?
I think they did come out with a new one. Season 19 was when they did Soda Sopa. Did you ever see that, when they just made a mockery of PC culture?
No.
And they had PC Principle. Worth a rewatch, especially now.
I remember
it's super relevant right now.
PC Principle used to wear the Oakley sunglasses, and he would...
Exactly.
Yeah, I know who you mean. Okay, I've seen it then.
Yeah,
yeah. I've been sort of converted to Rick and Morty, so I'm watching that a little bit more than I'm watching South Park. In fact, a lot more than I'm watching South Park at the moment. Are we talking about human physiology or the ANC, Michael? You must not think about the ANC so much. It's bad for your health, Michael. The ANC is not going to make you healthier. It's going to make you feel worse. South Park has gone terrible. Rick and Morty for the win, says Vishan. Okay, well, if Vishan says that we mustn't even bother with South Park, fine. I'll take your – that's how much I trust you, Vishan. I'll take your word for it. I'm not going to go, look, I'll just keep watching Rick and Morty. Makes me happy. God, there was, you know, that episode that, again, Nina Hasty was on the other day. She told us about it, and I finally saw it the other day. The episode where Rick and his granddaughter get to go to these three worlds that are about to become extinct. And basically they go there for the biggest parties ever. So the whole idea is that Rick and his granddaughter are going to have three of the most awesome parties in the universe, because these three worlds are about to end. The one is about to be impacted by an asteroid. The other one's about to be absorbed by some kind of star that is expanding. And the other one's going to blow up from the inside. And he takes his granddaughter, and they just basically, they drink and they take drugs and they party and they have sex with every creature on these different planets. And it's just like the wildest party ever. And I was thinking about that. I was like, would human beings, because you think about this pandemic, right? Would human beings even know what to do if we knew we had 48 hours left? All of us. No one would survive. There's no point in you trying to survive. There's nowhere to go. There's no way to get out of there. You've got 48 hours. Something's going to happen. And what are you going to do with those 48 hours? And I wondered, would we really have a party like the, like Rick and his granddaughter, just get totally wasted, take all the drugs, just have sex with everyone? Is that what we would do? That's certainly what the writers of that show. You would do that? Simpiwe, you're admitting you would do that.
I don't say that. I just know my people. I know my people. They don't want to go out in a bang, living their best lives. So they would definitely be potting up a storm and doing everything that they shouldn't, because why not? You know, you are about to die in 48 hours. Let's go do it. Let's go and spend everything. Let's fly out. Let's do the unthinkable.
Maybe people people would loot. I mean, I don't know what the point would be of stealing a TV is, because you only get to use it for like 24 hours. But if you knew that, I wonder what we would do with that time. Whether you just quietly go and contemplate things from the top of a hill and watch humanity lose its mind, whether you'd, you know, try to fire yourself off in a rocket. But again, like, let's say you can't save yourself, so you've just got to come to terms with it. What are you going to do with those last 48 hours? I think that would be really, really interesting. You'd find out. You'd see a lot about people that you might not expect.
You know, I don't know if you guys have watched The Purge. I think that's how people would behave. Like, honestly, if they knew they had 48 hours, it would be terrible. You'd get people that party it up, and then you'd get people that are gonna kill everybody, and then you get, like, we would see how people really want to act and treat other humans. So, well,
Jean agrees with you.
Yeah.
Jean agrees with you completely. However, Good Stuff says churches would be overflowing. Oh, well, I think a lot of people
repent.
Yeah.
Repent. Repent, guys. Jesus is coming. Repent. Say sorry. You know, ask for forgiveness. Let go. Give. Repent. I've done my part for the day. Repent.
Corona's boring would go to the top of the hill and just quietly contemplate the rest of it. I think I might do that too, actually. I think that's the way to go. And then Robin says, Book of Revelation. You'd read that? or you think that that's what would happen. Go to the Winchester and wait for the whole thing to blow over. That's Captain S. Beautiful. All right. My good side will party. My bad side will kill, says Good Cop. Well, now you've got to change your name from Good Cop to Good Cop, Bad Cop. Because we know what the bad cop would do. Yeah, I think that's just great. I do drugs. Here we go. Mark says do drugs. That's what he would do. You'd want to numb the pain of your existential crisis that you know everything's about to end. Brian Dopp says like hubba.
Drugs.
Yeah, drugs. Brian Dopp says hubba. Now, would you choose Brian Dopp? I mean, listen. You know, your last meal could be, you could eat anything you wanted to. The most unhealthy stuff ever, because who cares, right? And you could drink. I suppose you could drink. I don't know if drinking is going to make anything better, though. I reckon you just got to take...
I mean, you'd want to probably be drunk slipping into it, you know? Like,
very drunk.
Very
drunk.
Yeah. You'd want to be properly lit, as the kids would say, just to slide into it, like... As that last sort of dinosaur style death comes for all of us and the volcano turns us to ash,
well,
I'd probably want to be on a 21 year.
I mean, Tami Baloyi says, probably channeling all of us who have a looting gene, Tami says, I'd steal 10 million just in case it goes wrong. Just in case they survive. You know, Tami will have 10 mil.
You want to be set for life.
For
that's
sure.
What you want to be.
Yeah. A lot of people say that they would take DMT and mushrooms, Sean Gray. Hubba says, a lack of chop and whiskey to wash it down. You're really, you're into this, this Bri thing, hey, Hubba. Very nice. Rochelle says, I would start killing assholes. Oof, we better not upset Rochelle. Don't get on her wrong side, because if the Armageddon comes, she's going to be killing you. Sean says people will loot. Fatiswa says, Punyakos, food and binge on comedy. Punyankos, what is that? Punyankos. I don't know what that is. Corona's Boring says I'd be at the top of the Toba supervolcano shouting, it's beautiful! Oh, man. Yeah. Good morning, Babalas South Africans. Yaku was drinking last night. Yaku van der Berg. He says, good morning, Babalas South Africans. Sure. On a Monday, Yaku. I suppose maybe because the liquor stores reopened yesterday and you decided you needed to make up for lost time.
So just
the perks of working from home.
Can my fellow South Africans go and drink at pubs and stuff on the weekend? Because I don't really know what's going on there.
As long as I think they have to close by like 9 or 10? They have to close at 9.
Okay, whatever it is, it's all a joke. Okay, at least they can go and get turned up, the sort of that midday drinking, eh?
Absolutely, that's the plan. All right, yeah, well, you were going to say, sorry, Sipiwe.
No, I was going to say, but the thing is, people want to be able to buy. Because then they'll have it at home, and then they invite their friends, and then it's like a party until. It's not about going out, like, to the club. Like, yeah, that's nice, but hey, if we have enough booze,
let's go
to my
place.
Everybody come over for a braai. Right. Yes, that's the vibe. Yeah.
Well, now that it's all open again, let's see if we start a fourth wave. Yeah, people are. All right, let's hope not. Okay, we've gone everywhere this morning. It's been amazing. We've had some pretty incredible conversations. Things like equality, what we would do if the world was going to end. People with a face on the back of their existing head that whispers and laughs and cries. Jesus, unbelievable. And then we even spoke to Yatish earlier, who started a campaign called This Is Us. What is South Africa going forward? What do we want to be? Where do we want to be? How do we want to improve things around us instead of just complaining about them? These are important things. I don't think we left any stone unturned. It's been a busy Tuesday morning. Let's take a deep breath. I hope you have a very constructive day today. Make sure you do some exercise through the course of the day. Make sure that you get all your meetings underway. Make sure that you get lots of business going, and let's be productive. We have stuff to do, people to see, places to go. Have an awesome day with cliffcentral.com, and we will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. bright and early from me and Mbulelo and Simpiwe. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye. Cliffcentral.com.